Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy to come to you. You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You and I can sit down and just open up the Bible and talk about our wonderful Savior and the marvelous revelation He has given to us in the Word of God by His blessed Spirit. And please never divorce the Spirit of God from the Word of God. Allow me to repeat what I said in our last lesson. The study of the Word of God without the Holy Spirit leads to rationalism. And the study of the Spirit of God without the Word of God leads to fanaticism. And the Lord wants you and me to be balanced in this question. God uses the Spirit and also the Word of God. Now, we were dealing in our last lesson with this question of the fact that there are three avenues of knowledge, human knowledge, by the eye, the ear, through reason. But the things of God don't come to us that way. The things of God come to us by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals to us the things of God. In fact, I'll say very bluntly, the impossibility of a person really knowing the things of God apart from the Spirit of God using the Word of God. And God communicates His precious truth to us by words, and the Spirit of God makes it live. That's what the Lord meant to Nicodemus when He said, you must be born from above. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the Word of God and the Spirit of God. This is how God operates in the human heart. Now, when we come to this passage which we're dealing with, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have before us three kinds of people. Those of you who are with us in our study of Corinthians will remember this, but I'm going to repeat it. Because in this passage, at the end of chapter 2 toward chapter 3, we have three kinds of people. For example, in verse 14 of chapter 1, of chapter 2, pardon me, we have this statement. The natural man, this is the unsaved man, the unregenerate man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And then he takes chapter 3 and the first four verses, and you'll notice Paul says to these Corinthian believers, I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So you have the natural man and the carnal man and the spiritual man. And I want to suggest that one's place is determined by our attitude to the Word of God. See, I come right back to it, because the Bible is God's communication to you and to me. And it's my attitude to the Word of God determines what I am. Now, the natural man, the unsaved man, he rejects the Word of God. The carnal man is the Christian who neglects the Word of God. He neglects it. And the spiritual man is the one who feeds on the Word of God. Now, that's very, very simple, isn't it? The unsaved man rejects the Word of God. The carnal man neglects it. And the spiritual man feeds on it. I would say more about that, of course, a little later. Now, let me come right down to this question of these three men. There are three spheres of living. Or, if you please, three planes. We either are living on one or the other plane. For example, the unsaved man is living on the plane where there's no revelation of God. He doesn't know God. There's no time for God. No room for God. He's the unsaved man. But now the Christians. You find Christians are divided into two groups. There is the one that's living on a carnal plane. Now this man may have a shot in the arm sometime. He may go to a revival meeting and get blessed. And for 2 or 3 weeks, my, he's just wonderful. Then he goes right back to where he's always been living. Out of touch with God. The spiritual man is the one who's living on the spiritual plane. He's satisfied with Christ. He wants to glorify the Lord. Now, it may be he may fail God sometime, but the pattern of his life, he wants to glorify God in his life, in his words, in his actions, in his attitudes. See, I just want to suggest this to you as we pass along. Now, we come to the natural man. This is the unsaved man. Allow me to spend a moment here. The unsaved man is the man of the flesh. He doesn't know Christ. He's not in relationship with God. He hasn't come to know the Savior. And as Romans chapter 8, verse 9 said, he's none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we have this question of the unsaved man. He doesn't know God. He doesn't desire God. He has no love for the Savior. He has no faith in the Savior. And more than not, he resists the truth or is indifferent to it. He doesn't want God. He's far from God. He's guilty. And he lives a life without God. He lives from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, and gives no thought, no time, no room to God. This is the unsaved man, the unregenerate man. He has absolutely no spiritual life. So this one that Paul writes in Romans 3, you remember 10 to 12 when he said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. The way of peace they have not known. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And there's no fear of God before their eyes. Now this is the unsaved man. In Psalm 51:5, he's the one who's born in sin. In John 3:6, our Lord says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and can't be anything else but flesh. This is the unsaved man. As Jeremiah 13:20 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin? Can the leper change his spots? Neither can you that are accustomed to do evil do good. In Job 14:4, it says, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No. In fact, I would say in Ephesians chapter 2, they are energized by the powers of darkness, energized by the prince of the power of the air. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the 4th verse, the God of this world hath blinded their minds, lest they believe the gospel of Christ. And you remember, Paul could say in his great call of God in Acts 26:18, when he said, the Lord has sent me to open eyes, to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Now, one could go along this line. I'm not going to spend much time on it except to mention this. This is the unsaved man. He's without Christ. He's without hope. He's without God. He's afar off. Friend, am I talking to you today? I know I haven't gone very much into the subject. I don't need to. It's not my purpose except to say to you, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, what I've been saying pertains to you. You say, I'm as good as you are. That may be true. I'm not talking about my goodness, if I have any, or your goodness, if you have any. I'm talking about what God says about you. God declares, my friend, that you're dead in trespasses and sins. God says you're unrighteous. God says you have no place in your heart for Him. You say, I believe in God. I'm not an atheist. I'm not an agnostic. Have you taken Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? The Bible says, I am the way. Our Lord speaking when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says, the carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, the unsaved man, it's enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you see, I don't care what you do outside of Christ. If you're not a Christian, Whatever you do doesn't please God. Not a thing pleases God. The first thing an unsaved man needs to do, the first thing a lost sinner needs to do is to be found, is to be saved, is to become a child of God. How can you know God? How can you meet God? How can you be fitted for the presence of God? Unless he reveals it to you through his word. And he has. Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And I'm talking to you, my friend, if you've never accepted the Savior, you've gone on, good man, good woman, moral, sometimes religious, you can be all that and be lost. But have you really come into right relationship with the Savior? This is the issue. Your relationship to him, for he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. Now this is the natural man who receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. As 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unto us who are saved, it's the power of God. You see, there must be this relationship between a sinner and God before there can be life, before there can be forgiveness, before there can be relationship. And the Bible calls him the natural man, the unsaved, unregenerate person. My friend, I'm not trying to say this just because it's good doctrine. I'm saying it because I want you to know my Savior. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came for the express purpose of freeing you and delivering you from sin and fitting you for the presence of God, to transform you from a sinner into a saint, from a child of wrath into a child of God. No longer a natural man, but a man in Christ. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now let me come to the next one, the carnal man. Now the carnal man, you find in 1 Corinthians 3, the first four verses. Paul says four times in four verses, are you not carnal? I've got to write unto you as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, because you're carnal. In verse 3, are you not yet carnal? And you're fighting among yourselves. Are you not carnal? And walk as men. Now let me just stop for a moment about these Corinthians. These were Christians living on a low plane. What was the matter with them? They had neglected the word of God. They were indifferent to its precepts. And yet when you come to the first chapter, they're called saints. If you go back over your Bible to 1 Corinthians 1, you'll notice in verse 2, Paul writes to those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. To whom is he writing? He's writing to the people in the church of God at Corinth. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Now you'll notice in verse 5, he said, in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. You came behind in no gift. You had all the gifts of the Spirit. You were waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. My word, a church. Listen to it. They were sanctified in Christ Jesus. They were enriched by him in everything. In all utterance, in all knowledge. They had good preachers. They were looking for the coming of the Lord. They had all the gifts of the Spirit. And yet Paul says four times in four verses, they were carnal. Do you know, I'm going to say this, that our churches today, and I'm just speaking now in a general way, if the shoe fits, brother, you wear it. But you know, today across America, there are many, many churches that are evangelical, They're orthodox. They're fundamental. Many boast of the gifts of the Spirit. They're waiting for the coming of the Lord. They're enthusiastic. And yet they can be carnal. They can be carnal. You know, it might be a good thing for me to mention this to you. The Scripture speaks of these kind of folk all through the New Testament. These are the ones who neglect the Word of God. Now, you remember Paul could say in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10, when he spoke about, I beseech you by the gentleness and meekness of Christ. And he goes on to say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of the flesh, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, listen to the contrast of that. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, I'll repeat the Scriptures. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, where Paul says to these Hebrew Christians, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. I would like to give you a steak, some good strong meat, but you're not able to bear it. I'm going to feed you on milk because you're babies. Now, these are Christians who should be strong. Instead of that, they act like babies. When they should have been teaching somebody else the things of Christ, they need to be taught all over again. The very rudiments of the gospel of Christ. They're babes, they're carnal. They've never grown. Babyhood is wonderful in babies, but not in grown-up people. And here are Christians who've been on the way for years, and they've still got to be taught the simple things of the gospel. Here's the Corinthian church that had everything except spirituality. They were carnal. They were fighting among themselves. They were not established in the truth. They were so busy they had no time for the word of God. They're carnal. In Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says to the Galatian church, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh desireth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. And you go down to verse 25, 24, and 25, if by the Spirit you live, then by the Spirit walk. You take a contrast, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24, where Paul says to the Ephesian church, put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who was created in righteousness and true holiness. Here's a possibility of Christians not being spiritual. They're still occupied with the old things. That's why he said in the fifth chapter, lie not one to another, saying you put off the old man with his deeds. Same chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. You take Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 7, here you find a man with no victory, no deliverance. When I want to do the right thing, I do the wrong thing. When I want to go here, I go in the opposite direction. And he finds that he can't live for Christ. He whips his flesh and tries to make it behave and sets his jaw, but he still does the wrong thing. The pattern of his life is defeat instead of victory. My, how different when you come to the 8th chapter of Romans. It's full of the Spirit. In chapter 7, it's full of self. I, me, and mine. And I try, and I persevere, and I try, and I persevere, and it still doesn't work. So when I come to chapter 8, I find the Spirit of God takes over. The Spirit of God indwells us to do the job we found we could not do by ourselves. Now, these are Christians. Don't misunderstand me. These are Christians. But they've never grown. Have you? Have you? You have trusted the Savior? Have you ever grown in the things of Christ? I just plead with your heart, my friend, if you've never done it before, start today and feed on the Word of God. This is where you grow. This is where you experience the revelation of Himself and the experience of His power and of His presence and of His fellowship. Stay in the Word of God. We'll continue this in our next lesson. The Lord bless you today.